people are taking this seriously.
You worked on this for the government of the United Kingdom. You were in the Ministry of Defense researching UFOs and if there was extraterrestrial life and the like. What do you think has changed now that it went from sort of the fringe people who wore tinfoil on their hats and stood outside Area 51 to now this?
Well, I think there has been a realization that this is a serious defense and national security issue. And I think part of that has come from within Congress. People like Marco Rubio, for example, have spoken out quite strongly on this. But the other thing is, we've just got a lot more evidence than was previously the case. We always knew pilots saw these things, but it's the DOD themselves that have recently put some of this on their website. And what we've seen recently is the Defense Intelligence Agency also doing massive document dumps, releasing, you know, literally thousands of pages on this, and there's more to come.
Welcome back to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today we're going to talk about aliens, yes. Is it the most important show of the year? Maybe. Maybe. If the aliens come in to invade, it's going to be the most important show. Now, we've got a few topics here, and you're going to enjoy them. We're going to talk a little bit about making contact. We're going to talk about a recent FOIA request that unloaded thousands of pages. Well, 1,500 pages. Thousand of pages. 1,000.5 of pages on that ass. And we're going to talk about some of the things that they've been studying. They, of course, being the Pentagon, ATIP, all that stuff, right? The DOD. They've been studying these UFOs. And I'm not going to say they confirmed all of the conspiracy theories about aliens, but they pretty much did. And it's shocking. More people aren't talking about it. It's shocking how little people care about the alien phenomenon. You'd think this would dominate all headlines, but it's not. Why? I don't know. Maybe the mainstream media isn't pushing it. In our little world, it dominates the headlines. So we're going to talk about this massive FOIA dump they took. They took a big dump. We're going to talk about Doom. Yes, the video game about unleashing demons from hell and how that really happened recently. And finally, we're going to wrap it up with another shocker. We're going to talk about the Philosopher's Stone in depth because it was brought up by none other than Lou Elizondo. That's right. The guy who ran ATIP. He's talking about occult ideas of alchemy and how it's part of this whole phenomenon. I mean, we talked about so many things on the aliens in the past, and I know you've read my two alien books by now, so thank you for doing that. Or maybe you listened to them on Audible. Thank you very much. And my whole shtick was to try to contribute something to the alien agenda phenomenon. Because so many books and topics have covered this thing, right? And I thought, well, you know, in my world, I study all this occult ideas, the research, and tie it into pop culture. And to me, the whole alien phenomenon is warming up the masses to understand and embrace occult philosophies as the true new nature of reality. Now, you can't do this in 1 year. You can't do it in 2 years. That's why I said it's going to be 5 years. In fact, when I wrote The Dark Path in 2017, I believe I said by 2025. And it's not like I'm some Nostradamus that is channeling the ether to understand it. It's understanding what they're saying. When the NASA chief scientist says we're going to prove the existence of aliens by 2025, that's where I get the idea. I say, oh, okay. Well, there you go. Now, without further ado, let's get into it. Oh, there is further ado. I'm sorry. I don't know if you heard. I had three medium-sized announcements I did on my Instagram. You can watch the 38-minute video. I dropped it April 6th. But basically, I've got new shirts coming. I've got a big campaign drive, an NPR-style campaign drive. I want you on a supporter feed so you can get access to not one bonus show I'm doing in April, not two, not three, but four bonus shows I'm doing in April. I'm going to do four bonus shows, and this isn't the end of it. You're going to hear more about it. Sorry. we're going to do Studio 666, the film. We're going to do the film Fresh. We're going to do a book by Kurt Barker called Cannibalism, Blood Drinking, and High Adept Satanism. I'm going to show you how these books, Dave Grohl's storyteller book, all of these things influence reality, fiction, nonfiction. They're all blurring together here. And then the fourth show is a big mystery. You're not going to hear anything about it. It's going to be a mystery show. And then finally, I've also got a giveaway with a $1,000 grand prize. My goodness. You can have a conversation with me. You can get a shout out on the podcast. A bunch of stuff. I'm giving away books, shirts. You got to check it out. If you go to my Instagram.com/IsaacWeisheit, you can get more information. I've got two videos I dropped Wednesday, April 6th. Watch those. The one is a one-minute commercial that I need you to share on your Instagram story and tag me, and that's how you enter the contest. Just that easy. So simple. 2 seconds. You got till Wednesday, April 13th to do it. Okay. Without further ado now, let's get into it. Scientists are talking about sending new radio messages, right? Now, we're going to read from TMZ, which, you know, that's a very basic biatch kind of mainstream media there. So I'm going to read you what they wrote. If alien life is out there in this great big universe, we're doing our best to reach it with a new message, and this time it's got some algebra attached just in case they're big on math. NASA is partnering with some of the country's top scientific minds in hopes of broadcasting a new radio message via a high-tech telescope, very similar to what we did in 1974 from a telescope in Puerto Rico, then called the Arecibo. Not to get all mathy on ya, but that message to the stars only included binary code, plus some images of our solar system and DNA sequences. This time we're calling it the Beacon in the Galaxy message, and we're kicking things up a notch by transmitting math equations. There will be other graphical information communicating some basic principles and features of our world, including cosmic landmarks, to help the aliens find Earth. Sounds neat, of course, especially if some ETs actually pick up our signal and respond. But this sort of reaching out actually spurred a warning from the late, great Stephen Hawking, who once said we should refrain from chatting and to do more listening instead. Now, I don't know if you listen to Breaking Social Norms. It's a very different show. But we had a conversation recently about, and I don't remember which episode, about how, and I was trying to explain to Josie that mathematics are the universe's way of talking to us. It's the universe's language. God's language, some would say, right? That's why sacred geometry plays a role. That's why people get into numerology, because this all goes back to Pythagoras, one of the first secret societies. He was synthesizing information from all these esoteric sources over there in Greece and Egypt and Rome and so on, right? So for them to use math to get all mathy, as the article says, makes more sense, right? Previously, they only sent binary code, which, you know, there's various codes for programming a computer. You've got like hex and I can't remember the other ones. Good one. There's binary, hex, I think Unicode, and I mean assembly language. I mean, there's all these different. Well, that's not an example. You know what I'm saying. Sorry, it's been a long time since I've been into engineering. But you know what I'm saying. Mathematics. It ties into all these, like the golden ratio, pi or p, phi, which is half, 1.618. You'll find, and I read there's a book on the golden ratio I read several years before I got full red pill action. It talks about how it's a recurring pattern, right? And the idea is that these aliens could maybe understand this better than the other messages. Now, this raises a lot of questions for me, because I'm always in the camp of these things are interdimensional, not extraterrestrial. So why we shoot this out to the other planets is beyond me. So yes, that does poke some holes into the theory that these things are interdimensional and they know it. More to come on that, though. More importantly, Tuesday, April 5th, we got this bombshell of a FOIA request. Okay. Now, the British tabloid The Sun, which, shady source, right? It's a tabloid magazine, but they did a FOIA request 4 years ago, right when the news of ATIP dropped on the masses. ATIP, of course, being the Pentagon's project to research UFOs that was done in secret for many years. Lou Elizondo was the program manager of it. Well, right after the ATIP news dropped on the world, The Sun, in their thinking ahead, put a FOIA request in to get more information. And April 5th, 2022, 1,500 some pages dropped. 1,500 pages dropped. And the headline from The Sun, it says, this might not be The Sun. This might be from Live Science. Live Science reported on it. It says, UFOs left radiation burns and unaccounted for pregnancies, new Pentagon report claims. So let's start with Live Science's reporting on it, and then we're going to talk about The Sun and what they said about it. According to The Sun, the cache of documents includes reports on the biological effects of UFO sightings on humans, studies on advanced technologies such as invisibility cloaks, and plans for deep space exploration and colonization. Some portions of the documents were withheld in part for privacy and confidentiality concerns, the ATIP told The Sun. One standout document from the collection is a report titled Anomalous Acute and Subacute Field Effects on Human and Biological Tissue, dated March 2010. The report describes alleged injuries to human observers by anomalous advanced aerospace systems, some of which may be a threat to United States interests. The report describes 42 cases. That's a curious number, right? The mystery to the universe, 42. The report describes 42 cases from medical files and 300 unpublished cases where humans sustained injuries after alleged encounters with anomalous vehicles, which includes UFOs. In some cases, humans showed burn injuries or other conditions related to electromagnetic radiation. The report said some of them appearing to have been inflicted by energy-related propulsion systems. The report also noted cases of brain damage, nerve damage, heart palpitations, and headaches related to the encounters. Wow. So basically, now they're co-opting the idea that visitation's true. Close encounters of the fourth kind? I should know this. Close encounters of the fourth kind, I believe it is where they abduct, right? And let's see what else. And then they talked about invisibility cloaks, right? Which is very curious. The invisibility cloaks will have more of a play on when we talk about Lou Elizondo, right? We're going to talk about the Philosopher's Stone. Now, if we look at the actual Freedom of Information request, it had reports on the DIA, that's like the intelligence agency, rolled up. And their research out of the biological effects, right? And The Sun reported a little bit more on it. They said it included burns, heart problems, sleep disturbances, and bizarre occurrences such as apparent abduction and unaccounted for pregnancies, right? Now, the unaccounted for pregnancy is very alarming. If you watched Rosemary's Baby, or if you know the idea of incarnating an Antichrist, that's what Jack Parsons was trying to do with the Whore of Babylon he was trying to manifest. Pretty alarming to have a demon impregnate a female. And this could spiral off into a million conspiracies that they're trying to alter the human DNA through evolution they're experimenting. Who knows, right? But listen to this. It says, poltergeist, crop circles, spontaneous human combustion, alien abductions, and other paranormal events are also categorized. Now, if you recall, John Keel wrote a book in the 70s called The Eighth Tower. And in it, he talked about that. He called them the ultra-terrestrials. He was in the camp, if I'm understanding. I'm not an expert on John Keel. I haven't read all of his books. If I understand it, I would argue that he is saying all of this paranormal activity is kind of related. It's just other dimensional entities popping up in our dimension in some ways, or maybe a person being able to access these other frequencies and seeing them. And there's a lot of arguments for, like in The Dark Path, we talked a lot about the occultist desire to be creative. Artists are creative, and the creative mind can make contact with the abyss, the unconscious. And this is the dark side of the Kabbalistic tree of life, where the demonic entities reside. So there is a bit of an idea to explore with artists being able to channel these different energies or being able to see, sense other frequencies. And then also it talks about studies into advanced technologies such as invisibility cloaks and mind-controlled robots are also included in the document cache. Now, isn't it curious that Elon Musk is working on a mind-control robot, isn't he? Sorry, this is a bit off the cuff, but I think there's a new... Let's see. I was just reading about it the other day. Some kind of humanoid robot, Tesla bot. I don't know. I don't want to hold up the show, but I know Elon Musk is talking about it. He obviously has the Neuralink. It's called Optimus. That's the robot, the Optimus, a Tesla bot. But he has the Neuralink, which is the brain cap, and I argue that is the way they get us in the digital matrix. Other documents obtained include studies into communicating with alien civilizations and plan for deep space exploration and colonization. Now, this is the breakaway civilization they've always wanted. If you listen to my show on Netflix's Don't Look Up, that's what that's about. It's about the technocracy, the scientific elite, that they believe they've been gifted from God. The Prometheus Luciferian gifts of technology, the fire from the gods. They've been given this, and they will use it to create a new world. They're going to do the off, you know, Elon Musk talks about colonizing Mars. Jeff Bezos talks about how Earth is going to be a place for vacations. These weirdos really want to do this. It's arguable that what they want to do, and this is like, this is my hippie granola vibe. The corporations want to destroy Mother Earth, right? So that they'll have the capability to leave after they've made all their money and leave us behind to choke on the air and choke on the water. That's what I think is happening. And I'm not the only one to believe that. If you read Michael Hoffman's book about secret societies, he was talking about this back in the 90s, I think. Let's move along. So yeah, there you go. the Pentagon just confirmed all of this wild stuff about the paranormal. It's pretty crazy. Let's move into the next topic. Doom, the video game Doom. Yes. Based on real events. Maybe. If you look to the great Nick Hinton, who I'm going to have on this show this year, I know I've been talking about it, but I'm still reading his book, which is ironically right here, The Aquarian Singularity. I'm about halfway through it, so give me 2 more months. You know what I do? I read multiple books at the same time. I'm reading a book about John Dee. Shout out to my man Jordan. He runs a coffee company called Wind and Sea. You should check it out. And I'm not exaggerating, and this is not an ad. This is not sponsorship. The Punta Roca CBD coffee is off the chain. Might be the best coffee I've ever bought. And I went to Hawaii and brought back a suitcase full of 100% Kona. I've had Kona Peaberry. And I'll tell you what, you get that Punta Roca, it's fire. Now, Nick Hinton, right? We're here talking about Nick Hinton. On his Instagram story, he posted an interesting idea that put me down a rabbit hole. And the idea he floated was that Doom started March 15th, 2022. The video game. Now, I know what it is because I'm old enough. And his argument that he was postulating was that the same day, March 15th, 2022, in America, we were kind of in the stages of passing a daylight savings bill to make daylight savings permanent. If you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, if you're from another country, I don't know if they do this in other countries or not. We change the time. We move it ahead or behind an hour. I guess it started with like farmers, making sure that farmers could get their work done. I don't know. It's stupid. It's really an antiquated idea that they need to get rid of. But anyway, he's saying that maybe the daylight savings change is to help restart CERN portals or something to that effect, right? Now, this sent me down the rabbit hole because I remember Doom. I played it, you know, it came out in the 90s. But I'm not an expert on it, right? So I looked it up more, and it's actually pretty interesting. Here's the story about Doom. It was created by a software company called id, I-D, right? This is the company that gave us Wolfenstein 3D, Quake, obviously very revolutionary in terms of gaming. First-person shooters, I think they basically invented it. And it's also interesting because id, it refers to the Freudian modeling of the mind. Okay, Sigmund Freud came up with this model of the mind. And the id is the inner instinctual reptilian brain. And the easy way I remember is libido, right? Libido. It's a little play on words. That's where that comes from. It's like the sex and death drive, which is a very ironically a main idea in secret societies and occultism. They're always focused on the energy of sex and death. Aleister Crowley said death is the greatest orgasm one could have. And it's talking about achieving altered states in some way. Which is why you see this in Eyes Wide Shut, right? It's all part of it. And why would a video game company call themselves id? Well, I would argue it's because they know video games can induce a fight or flight response. Especially the first-person shooters, it very much puts you in the position of being the character. And a good example, and I've talked about this in the past, but I remember I played video games. I was pretty obsessed with video games through, 8-bit Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo. And then I took a pretty long pause, like probably 10-15 years of really getting into video games. I had a PlayStation 1. That was kind of the last system I bought. And then at some point, my man Dr. Anteater gave me an Xbox. And when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I think, I started playing Call of Duty for the first time. And I was obsessed. I was like, dude, this is insane. And I played it for hours and hours and hours and hours. And I went to sleep that night. And I had dreams that I was actually like going around mowing down people. And it was kind of alarming. It was kind of upsetting because it was, I saw all the blood and the gore. And it wasn't fun in the dream. It was like a nightmare. The point being, I argue that music and film can change your vibrational state. I think video games are a more immersive way of doing that than even, just film or music could. Now, you take that to virtual reality land, and it's even another step of further inducing this feeling of changing your vibrational frequency. But anyways, the Freudian mind model talks about the id, and then it has the ego, the superego, and the ego is the mediator between the societal norms of the superego, the construct, and the reptilian desires of the id. It's kind of the voice of reason, sort of. Anyhow, back in 1993, Doom drops. It's a first-person shooter. And the idea is that you play this character named Doom Guy, and you're shooting demons from hell. You're also fighting humans possessed by demons. Clearly, dark subject matter, right? But this Doom Guy, we find out he's a space marine, and he's stationed on a base on Mars, and he teleports to hell. So there's your talk about the breakaway civilization. And it's very curious because the whole idea of space galactic federations could very well be real. You know, we started the U.S. Space Force recently. And I'd argue that's an auxiliary of what could actually be happening out there. You know, the U.S. Space Force, they have the... Their motto is, what is it, always above, right? And that plays into the Hermetic axiom, as above, so below. We've talked about that many times as well. And it's interesting that there's no base on the moon for the Space Force. They're just here in America, right? They're on the computers. Well, could it be that interdimensional travel can happen right here from America? We don't need to be out in space. Space doesn't matter. It's dimensional travel. And if you recall, the Israeli former space chief, he talked about it. He said, yeah, there's a galactic space federation. Then we also had Gary McKinnon, who hacked NASA. He said the same thing. He said, yeah, there's this list of galactic federation, you know, I don't know, military agreement organizations and all this stuff. And the teleportation, remote viewing, you know, the CIA docs, the paranormal studies, the FOIA dump that we just talked about, all this stuff could very well be real. The CIA was studying this. So this Doom character, Doom Guy, who's teleporting between Mars and hell, I mean, that might be a real event. Sounds crazy, right? Now, this game, Doom, it was very controversial. It was very violent, very satanic, obviously. There were even claims that the Columbine shooters were obsessed with this game, which ties me into my Call of Duty story. But they said that they talked about it in their journals, apparently, multiple times because they played the game so much. And the one shooter, he had made some levels for the game because I think the game was open sourced at a certain point. They call them, what they call them, the Columbine levels or something. And there was conspiracies that, oh, what they did was they made a video game version of how they were going to shoot out the school. Real dark stuff. Anyway, the game Doom, it was ported out to various different systems because of its popularity, including the Super Nintendo. And this is where the March 15th idea comes into play. The manual for the Super Nintendo version says that the game does in fact take place March 15th, 2022. And if you look it up, if you do an image search, you can find it. It says, I'll read it to you. This publication supersedes Doom Manual, blah, 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 dated 1 July 2021, changed 15 March 2022, which should be removed from the files and destroyed. So yes, in fact, March 15, 2022 plays a role, and as does July 1st, 2021. Now, what I found curious, because I thought, man, what happened July 1st, 2021? June 27th, 2021, just a couple days before July 1st, was when the Pentagon's UFO disclosure report had dropped. Not quite the same day, but really close to it. So a lot of weird ideas here. And the strangeness is that the portal in the game opens up March 15th, 2022. So did a demonic portal open up that day? I guess we have to wait and see, unfortunately. Because who knows what CERN's up to? A lot of weird stuff going on. All right, finally, our main topic. The Philosopher's Stone. And shout out to my man Ryan Bledsoe out there running the Bledsoe Said So podcast. He's the one that hooked us up and sent me the link. So shout out. And you got to check his show. If you like my show, you're going to love Bledsoe Said So. It's and I'm not, look, Sometimes I do ads. Sometimes I speak from the heart. This is from the heart. It's legit. I'm plowing through all the episodes, and we're going to get him on this show. And he's hitting on a lot of the same subjects we talk about. So if you want a different perspective or different format, you're going to really enjoy the show. Now, at 30 miles... he sent me the episode. It's on YouTube. It's a show called UFO Garage. And 39 minutes into this episode, they're interviewing Lou Elizondo. Lou Elizondo, of course, being the guy who ran ATIP for the Pentagon, where they were studying all this UFO phenomenon stuff, right? 39 minutes in, Lou drops some pretty wild ideas you gotta hear. And I'm going to play the clip for you. And Ben, he's the host of UFO Garage. He's talking about UFO disclosure and the aspect of consciousness behind all this. And they ask Lou what the role of and by the way, you remember Fight Club? That's actually the first episode I listened to of Bledsoe Said So was an episode they did on Tyler Durden and the Fight Club movie. And I was like, bro, this is my show right here. This is my jam. But anyways, in Fight Club, there's a guy named Lou, right? Remember Lou's garage? And Brad Pitt's got the Fight Club down underneath the garage, and Lou comes in and he says, who are you? And he says, I'm effing Lou. Anyway, just a curious sort of tangential idea there. Ben's talking about UFO disclosure and consciousness. They asked Lou Elizondo, they said, what's the role of consciousness in the phenomenon? Which is, to me, the biggest question you can ask. Because I think that's the key component to all this. And Lou Elizondo does not disappoint with his response. Take a listen.
Journeys on the show and separate journeys individually. And some of our listeners, they've been listening for a while and started the journey a little bit before us or at the same time, or they just hopped on like last July when the whole thing came out and they're like, hey, you guys aren't so, stiff. Let's hang out.
Yeah.
So we just kind of vibrate with certain people and I'm not trying to talk about us, but I'm talking about like different people's experiences and journeys and how fast, and it's all relative back to that relativity thing. Mm-hmm. And that all goes has to do with this consciousness aspect. I guess my question would be like, what do you think consciousness, what do you think the role is with this whole phenomenon is? Like, I don't want to make it more complicated by asking the second part, but like, is everything one or is all not one? If that makes any sense to you.
Well, it's all connected, I think is fair to say. There are principles in science now that are looking into things such as string theory, potentially, or holographic theory about our universe. And there are discussions going on right now within the scientific community of what human consciousness really is. And I don't mean sitting there in the lotus position meditating. I'm talking about the processes that occur within the human brain that signify. So, you know what? I'm going to show you something. You don't mind.
Storytelling.
I'm gonna digress. So
yes, dude. It's crazy because I wrote out this whole thing, but I chose to like make it simple. So if you need some time, I could read that.
If this square, represent, I don't know if you can see it with the glare, hopefully
yeah,
you can see this square can see on this piece of paper represents the human body. Okay. And the human body has something inside the circle, which is called a brain. And that brain resides inside the body, and the brain is responsible for certain functions and biological functions that keep the body alive, keeps your heart rate going and your breathing. And your body, coincidentally, is also responsible for keeping the brain alive through circulatory processes and whatnot. So the brain needs the body and the body needs the brain. And so the brain is responsible for thinking, the body is responsible for protecting and moving and sustaining. And that's what a lot of people consider life. But there's another element. There's another element to the human being and possibly to all sentient life. And that is the notion of this triangle. And that triangle is what some have referred to as the soul or the id or the chi or the spirit, right? It is something that does reside inside the body, but is not contained necessarily with inside the body. And is it possible that consciousness is part of that that process, that spirit, that thing that is, it is all encompassing of what a human being really is, the essence, if you will imagine distilling a human being down to its actual essence, and that is what you have left over once the carbon of the body is gone and you know whatnot, the organics, if you will, what's left behind. And that is the great mystery of the universe, because that it is possible to some degree. Some people speculated that's maybe how people can remote view and psychic abilities and all these things that seem to be paranormal, when in reality may have a very perfectly rational explanation. It's just part of a hidden kingdom, mm-hmm. but a hidden kingdom to which we're all connected. That's certainly, you know, something that is it's possible. It's hard to measure things that you can't see or feel or touch or taste, right? So how do you measure it? Well, you measure that in the value of love and expression and art, right? Things that are intangible but are expressions of the human spirit. Random acts of kindness, right? People who give more than they take. Again, I don't want to get too esoteric on you, but I think that human consciousness is something that we don't really understand very well. I think it is potentially something that is beyond the carbon unit that we call a human being. You know, case in point, if I get, you know, in combat and I, you know, God forbid, me or a buddy of mine loses a leg or an arm or both my legs, right? I'm still Lou. I just, you know, minus a couple limbs. And if I have a traumatic brain injury caused by sustained in combat, or perhaps maybe I was born with a mental challenge, I'm still Lou, just because, you know, I'm not necessarily be as smart as others. I'm still Lou. So that's not what defines who Lou is, or you, Ben, or you, Joe, or anybody in your audience. You're not defined by what you see in the mirror, and you're not defined necessarily even by what you think or how you think. There's something else that makes Ben, Ben, and Joe, Joe, and Lou, Lou. So the question is, what is that? What is that, this elusive property that we're looking for, this fourth element, if you will, of matter, you know? And does it lie in the spiritual world? You know, I mean, I've been privy to some pretty extraordinary things. I don't talk about them publicly, but, you know, I tend to be a fairly rational minded guy. I went to school and studied science and have degrees in that field and believe in the scientific method and process. But there are other elements out there that science can't explain yet. And I think it's okay. And I think we should be wary of just poo-pooing it and be like, nah, that doesn't exist. Well, mm-hmm. Okay, but there was a time that people didn't know electricity existed, right? You saw lightning in the sky, and oh, the gods are angry. You had no idea that it was electrons moving from cloud to cloud. You know, now, of course, we kind of laugh about it, but that was, you know, for a lot of people, that was real. And that was the gods are angry. You know, I don't know about anything called electricity, but I know that the gods mad. So we're always learning. We're on this journey of teaching each other and learning from each other, hopefully, and, you know, not trying to stifle each other's thoughts and dreams and hopes.
So Lou says a lot there. All right. He says that. He's talking about holographic and string theory, how they're all connected. But more importantly, he gives an example, right? He says, look, the square is the human body with a circle inside, trapped almost. And that's the mind, right? And that's exactly how it works. The mind is encased and trapped in dead matter of the skull, which is where the skull symbolism comes up in Freemasonry and all these other secret societies. The mind has no way of knowing what's happening in this world, in reality. It relies upon the senses and neural networks interfacing to tell it what's going on. And all it wants to do is protect itself and protect the human body. It's sort of assigned to the human body to protect it. But imagine trying to protect something and you don't know what's happening. It's like on Survivor when they got the team out there and they're all blindfolded and they got the one person trying to like sort of scream and tell them where to go, which way to turn. and inevitably some guy gets smashed in the balls, you know? It's kind of like that, which is a really weird way of making things operate, right? So he's talking about the square and then the circle within that square. And then surrounding both of those things is a triangle. And he refers to it, he says the soul or the id or the chi or the spirit. And it's kind of part of the body, but it's more about consciousness and it's more about the essence of what a person is. He calls it the great mystery of the universe. And he says this could be how remote viewing and paranormal activity work. How this hidden kingdom manifests and how we're all connected. And this, of course, ties into perennial philosophy and a lot of various ideas. Indra's net from Buddhism, where we're all points of consciousness in a net, you know, all connected. And he's kind of like, look, I don't want to get too esoteric. And he stops the conversation there, which I find very curious. Now, I think these guys from the UFO garage, I think they hit the they struck on the nerve of what this is all about. And they are not ready to drop that level of knowledge upon us yet. But Lou, he's talking about how our consciousness, our spirit, it's more than just the mind, it's more than just the body. We know this, right? It's the consciousness that we're all connected through. And it's how the aliens connect us through human consciousness. And what I believe he's referring to is this alchemical idea, because he draws the Philosopher's Stone. That's what the circle inside the square inside the triangle is. Again, with the sacred geometry stuff, right? What I believe he's referring to is this alchemical idea that man is a bit polluted with various earth things. And this comes from Kabbalah, where our spiritual essence, our perfected spiritual essence, descends through all these different planes of existence and becomes a bit imperfect on the way down. And the whole idea of Kabbalah is to traverse back up the tree of life and become perfected again. And that's kind of what the idea of alchemy is. The goal is to distillate, to remove all the pollutants and strip one back down to their essence of the consciousness or the spirit. That's the triangle in this Philosopher's Stone. And the whole point of doing that is so that one can make contact with the divine again. One can become one with the divine and reach this perfected state. In Theosophy, Helena Blavatsky called them the ascended masters. It's a state of transfiguration, which is ironically something you hear in Harry Potter, because you'll notice the Philosopher's Stone looks just like the Deathly Hallows symbol in Harry Potter. Now, he's also referenced, and we're going to go into that in a second here, but he's also referencing the Stargate Project again with the Stargate Project. And that, of course, was the Army Project depicted in the Men Who Stare at Goats, where they were studying the paranormal. It started in the 70s as a bunch of different little mini projects. Then in 94, they consolidated, or 91, they consolidated it into the Project Stargate. And then they declassified it in 95 because they said, it wasn't useful to us anyway. It's like, you were studying it for like 20 years. It must have had some kind of utility. Anyway, the Philosopher's Stone. Lou draws the Philosopher's Stone and he shows it to us. And I'm arguing that this is very similar to Harry Potter's Deathly Hallows symbol. And the first Harry Potter book was actually called Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, originally. But in the US, they changed it to the Sorcerer's Stone. Why? I don't know. If you're a Harry Potter nerd, you probably know. I do not. But Deathly Hallows, the story of Deathly Hallows, and I did, what did I do, 2-3 shows on Harry Potter back in 2017, 2018, also in my book, Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture, the book, if you want to get it on Audible or Amazon or Gumroad. We talked a lot about Harry Potter, because Deathly Hallows is based on folklore similar to Freemasonry. And if you recall, J.K. Rowling, in fact, said that her symbol for the Deathly Hallows was inspired by Freemasonry that came to her in a vision, in a dream. And that Deathly Hallows symbol was about three brothers using three items to escape death, one of which was an invisibility cloak, which ties us into the FOIA dump. That's what they said. They said they had researched invisibility cloaks. So you had the invisibility cloak, the Elder Wand, the Philosopher's Stone. And the depiction is very similar to what Lou Elizondo draws as the Philosopher's Stone. Not quite the same, very similar though. It's a blend of the compass and square Freemasonry with the Philosopher's Stone. That's what the Deathly Hallows symbol is. And Harry Potter, ironically, has to go underground beneath Hogwarts to find it. Like any good initiate going underground, simulating death. Man must face death, ego death, to become an initiate. To give up the old way of thinking, the view of reality and the world in which they knew must go. It must pass. So they can be reborn into the occult doctrine. That's what little Harry goes through. Now, if you look at the actual Philosopher's Stone symbol that Lou drew, it's the great work of alchemy. It's also the great work of speculative Freemasonry. And allegedly, Nicholas and Prenel Flamel were able to achieve this. And in the story, Nicholas Flamel reaches 665 years of age in the Harry Potter story, which is curious, right? Because Manly P. Hall, remember what number he said associated to the state of perfected man? It was 666, right? Now, Isaac Newton and today's elites, I would argue, the scientific technocracy, the nerds that are going to kill us, they believe that the secrets of this esoteric wisdom are not meant for the masses because we're just a bunch of dumb sheeple mouth breathers. And doesn't that make sense? I agree with that. I think that they... No, I don't agree with it. I think that the elites think that. They think, you know what? I've been gifted all these blessings from God. God must love me. And there's a reason poor people are poor. It's because they deserve it. They're not evolved enough to figure this out. So that's their mentality. They're okay with it. Isaac Newton. I'm going to quote to you Isaac Newton. He said this about the Philosopher's Stone. And when he says occult, he's talking about the hidden attributes, okay? It's occult. He's talking about the Philosopher's Stone. He says, it's occult may be made manifest only to men elected by God. So you want to know why there's a technocracy? You want to know why there's a great reset? You want to know why they want to track you on a blockchain and limit your usage of any natural resource? It's because you don't deserve it. You're too stupid. That's what they talk about at Bohemian Grove and all this stuff. And it kills me because people get so buried in politics. And it's like, bro, they're all attending the same meetings. I don't care which wing of the bird you choose. You got to know that they have this underlying belief about us. Now, what's curious, and that's not a sponsorship of full-on anarchist ideas. Like you still gotta pave roads and stuff. But there's no savior. That's all I'm trying to say is like, don't look for any of these politicians to save you, and know that this whole time, it's good to follow the news, right? It's good in some sense, but you got to also understand that if it gets you in a state of negativity, you got to unplug. That's what they're there. They're trying to get you outraged, which is why I don't go into geopolitics because when, you know, it's almost like when you get into geopolitics, you're almost obsessing over what these people are saying and doing. And to me, that's not the state I want to exist in. And I'm not saying you shouldn't follow, like, go for it. I don't care. I can't. If I get into that stuff too deep, I start getting all riled up. And then for what? You just want to be upset all day? Why? Why live like that? I'd rather live in ignorance about some of those things if that means I'm having a positive day. And I can be a source of light for other people, because that's what it's all about, right? That's what this human experience is about. Leaving behind, a source of light and love and laughing, just like the stuff Karens put on their kitchen wall, right? Live, laugh, and love. Now, what's curious, all these ideas of the Philosopher's Stone, guess where they came from? They came from the aliens, yes. The alien Hermes Trismegistus. Back in ancient Egypt, he dropped the emerald tablets on that ass. And the emerald tablets had the secrets to alchemy and man reaching this perfected state. He had these hermetic laws, and these hermetic laws were intended to help man balance himself to the cosmos. And these occultists, they follow these principles. Like, as above, so below. It's a hermetic axiom. Came from Hermes. And in fact, the full statement is that which is below corresponds to that which is above, and that which is above corresponds to that which is below. That's why they call it the law of correspondence. But it keeps going. It says, to accomplish the miracles of the one thing. What's the one thing? It's a reference to the Philosopher's Stone. So we've come full circle. The Philosopher's Stone is the one thing. It ties into the system of understanding the nature of reality given to us from the pagan occult god Hermes Trismegistus. And this was in ancient Egypt. And of course, all these ideas persisted underground through the secret societies. So there you go. Lou Elizondo just performed a bit of UFO disclosure as it relates to occultism. The occult alien disclosure is coming. And that was, to me, one of the big moments right there. So we talked about Doom. We talked about the Pentagon FOIA dump, about how the UFOs are not pulling out. I don't know. They're knocking up chicks. They're causing brain damage. Sounds like a threat to me. And that's where, you know, that not for today's show, but that's another idea that we've got to start wrapping our minds around. It seems that they want to make us believe these things are threats. Is that true? Or are aliens a way of us ascending to higher planes of dimensions, to higher frequencies? Are they further evolved entities? That's what the occultist would believe. Man cannot evolve without the aliens. That's what Aleister Crowley was talking about. Which one's true? I don't know. To me, I feel like aliens could be demonic or angelic. I don't know. So how do you trust such a thing? But then I also question when the Pentagon says, look, we got to make we got to neutralize these threats. We got to make some mega space weapons and put teleportation devices to Mars and fight the aliens. I also think, I don't know about that either. Strange times we live in indeed. And in the next few years, things are going to get even weirder, guaranteed, as we see the metaverse heating up. All the entertainment showing us metaverse, multiverse stuff. You noticed that, right? It's because the digital matrix is coming. So that's all we've got for today. I thank you for listening to the show. And like I say, if you want more discussions, I'm doing 4 bonus episodes in April 2022. I do 1 a month for my supporters. And this month I'm doing 4. Because I want you to get on the winning team here. You already know all the drills, where to go for that stuff. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening to the show. Until next time, stay woke.